everybody to our service this morning. This lovely sunny day. There'll be tea after the service. And very good welcome to Bill and Anne. Me and Gary was panicking a bit. Thinking he was maybe not going to turn up, but he's turned up, so we're glad about that. Knit and Nutter is finished for summer. Pilates is normal times, Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Wednesday morning, 9:30 a.m. and Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday night Bible reading and prayer meeting will recommence in September. An advanced reminder that we are responsible for the service at Jarvis Court at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, the 9th of August. Do continue to remember those ill and those in hospital, those laid aside and recently bereaved. Sadly, Anne Slater passed away on Wednesday. The funeral is in the Baptist Church here this Friday, 17th of July at 11 a.m., followed by interment at the Lone May, then tea at the Leisure Centre. There will be no donations. Do pray for all Anne's family mourning her at this passing. And next week, the speaker is Keith Hay. I'll just hand over to Bill.
Thanks, James. That's okay. Morning, folks. It's really nice to be here with you once again. I think it's maybe a year since I've been here. I rather think it has, round about that. I'm not sure, but it's been too long. So it's nice to see everybody. I'm going to open with 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. But I'm going to use it as a prayer. This is one of Paul's prayers to the church at Thessalonica. And we'll take it for ourselves. Lord Jesus, make us to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end that you may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at your coming with all your saints, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to open this morning with our first hymn, Christ, our hope in life and death. And we'll stand and we'll just let the whole of Fraserburgh hear it. Amen. Christ, our hope in life and death. Our souls may be, who holds our days within his hand, that comes apart from his command, and what will keep us to the end, the love of Christ in which we stand. Do we know this one? Do we know this one? Have we heard this one before? Yes? I'm not getting much response. We'll start again.
Thank you.
Would it be easier to go to the second one? Okay. What the speaker always does in circumstances like this, turn to your neighbour and say, welcome to church this morning. Go and turn to your neighbour, have a wee blether, and make sure that everybody feels welcome. Can you give it some volume? No. We are our King, speaking His hand. What comes apart from His command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Hallelujah, our hope springs again. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess. Christ our hope beneath and then. Fears arise, who stands above the storm and trial, who sends the waves that bring us on, to the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and death. Do the grave, what will we see? Christ He lives, Christ He lives, and what we want will heaven bring. Everlasting life with Him, we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed. We will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and death. Hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and while the technology is being fixed, let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. Lord, your love never changes towards us. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation this morning in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for your eternal love, your eternal grace and kindness towards us. Father, we thank you that in your presence there's fullness of joy, that, Lord God, in your presence there's life forevermore. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are a God that exceeds by far greater than words all of our expectation. Father, we thank you for your Son this morning, Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to bear away our sin in the flesh, that, Lord, we might be justified. Father, we want to thank you that in him is eternal life this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace and kindness. Lord, we, in church these days, we live a lot with technology, but Lord, we bypass technology in our hearts, and we thank you that, Lord, you're above all things. Lord, you're full of so much kindness to us that words fail. But Father, we thank you this morning that you're the God that changes not. You're the one eternal one that we can look to. Lord, politics change, circumstances change, life changes. But when we open your word, we realize from the Bible that it's still the same. It is eternal. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you're the God that changes not. There's no shadow of turning with you. Your righteousness personified, if that's the right words. Father, we thank you. We give you glory this morning. And Lord, we do pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to what's going on round about us. Lord, not just in spiritual things, but in physical things too, Lord. We think of the reports that's coming out day by day about the academy, the school here, and the violence that's going on. And Father, we just come against that in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask, Father God, by the presence of your Holy Spirit, that your church would begin to pray for the staff at Fraserburgh Academy. Pray, Father God, for the administration there. Pray for the pupils there. Father, we can be so forgetful, negligent, and praying for the places round about us, even we close to Aberdeen. Lord, help us to remember our institutions, that all the corruption and the evil, Father, would just be exposed and dealt with by yourself. You're the only one that can come and sort out our society these days. It's gone so far into the black that, Lord, we need the light of the gospel. So, Father, help us, not just here in Fraserburgh, but throughout the whole of the UK. Help your churches to arise, start to take the authority that you've given them in the heavenly places, and cast down the liar, cast down, Father God, the evil one that would seek to usurp authority over you. Father, we know that his destiny is close to an end. But Father God, we just want to thank you that you have left us here as light and salt to deal with situations before your throne of grace. So help us rise up, lift up that baton, and be faithful. Father, we thank you that as we look at times and events, the coming of Jesus must be drawing closer and closer. help us to be found worthy of his presence. Lord, bless us today here as we meet together and we think of those absent today, as James has said, through sickness, ill health, infirmity. Father, we thank you for them. And we thank you for Norm and his wife and this weekend that they're sharing together. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless that marriage. And Father, we just thank you for the institution of marriage. Just as the husband has to love his wife, as Christ loved the church. Lord, it's a big task here on earth, but Lord, we know that your love is for us. Help us as men to love our wives as Christ loves the church, and help the woman to be their husbands in the Lord, that your blessing may abound through families, that the blessing of salvation would come into each household, and that, Father God, your name is glorified. Father, continue with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our second hymn, Lord, for the Years. Let's stand and sing, Lord, for the Years.
And saved us, pardoned and rewarded.
two scripture readings this morning. The first one is from the book of Ephesians, and it's chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. This he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then we turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. And we're reading from verse 17. I'll go back to 14 to give it a context. This is 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because thus we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of God. Reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Let's stand and sing once more. And I hope we've got this. We're okay, are we? My eyes have seen the glory. We should all know this one. Let's stand and sing. gets the blood circulating. Then we're going to be speaking about another blood this morning. I've been saved a wee while now, a good few decades now. It started off, my conversion started off very well for the first 15, 20 years. And then suddenly, or not suddenly, very gradually, it took a turn. And became very conscious of sin, but I was never comfortable with what it means to be born again. I was never comfortable with that. And this year, I went in and really wanted to know what it means to be born again. And what I found out is really changed me in so, so many ways. So I'm just going to give it to you and let you consider the word for yourselves. See, sometimes we believe that when we're born again, we know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He died on the cross for us, took our sin from us. And if we believe that, we get saved. Our sin is removed to Jesus, he took it for us, and we wait for heaven. But that's not really the purpose and the meaning of being born again. And then I considered this 27 verses, 27 chapters, 27 letters in the New Testament. And if there's 27, what does God want to tell us for this era that we're in, this New Testament era that we're in? When Adam and Eve died in the garden, they, in flesh, didn't die right away. We know that. When Seth came, Adam was 130, and he lived for another 800 years in the flesh. What died was his spirit. It was cut off from God. It died. And our new birth is, our spirit is born again, but we have to start learning what was lost in the garden. Hence, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So let's just get into this. When Jesus, we can spend our lives as Christians trying to get where God's already established it, us. God has already put us where he wants us to be, but we strive and struggle through sin, sin, sin. And is that what God really wants? Jesus came to give us joy, and joy that would be fulfilled in us, joy that would spread over into the community. For Jesus' death, he was victorious. He destroyed sin. He destroyed death. He destroyed hell, sickness, fear. He destroyed poverty. And he, for the believer, destroyed judgment. Sin. John, 1 John 2:16 describes it very well. Sin is lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That brings separation from God. There's a scripture in Romans 10:9 that says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess by the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. If we believe in this scripture, then other scriptures have to be believed as well. What are they? 2 Corinthians 5:21, we've already read it. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness is something that I used to strive for, try to become righteous like Jesus, fell flat in the face into sin, and rose up again and moved on. And I was just never happy that that's really not what God had for us, his church. There's too many promises. Born again believers, we are trying to be what God has already made us, what we already are. And I'm going to read some scriptures. And I've got a copy of the scriptures here. If anybody at the end wants a copy, I'm sure Norman will photocopy them for you, because there's a lot. It says in Colossians 3:3, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It says in Romans 6:4, it's out of several witnesses, let every word be established. So I've taken a few to be established. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Before I was a believer, I was an atheist. And I wanted to prove the Bible wrong. A chap I worked with came to our house many decades ago and was offering the services of the local church. The only reason I took him into the church, it was a cold November night, was because I worked with him. He was a colleague. He came in and started speaking about Jesus, and I kept looking at my watch, wondering when he was going to leave. I was getting fed up. But one of the coincidences, or God instances, was that just a week before, Anne's mother gave her a Bible, which was a family heirloom and had been the property of a missionary in Madagascar. So no Bible in the house. I took this big King James Bible up to bed and turned around to sleep, and I opened it. I opened it, something called the Old Testament. I read the first few verses and threw it down, couldn't understand it. And it flicked open in the bed. It's something called the New Testament. And I thought, if it's new, it'll be better than what I've been reading. So I started to read it and could not go understand or pronounce the names in the genealogy of chapter 1 in Matthew. But I continued. And as I read through the Gospel of Matthew, I got to the crucifixion, 1:45 one morning. Anne is sleeping. And it's four words, and they crucified him. And I thought, this Jesus I'm reading about has done nothing wrong. And they've paid false witnesses to tell lies against him. And as I was thinking in these things and sleeping, I got a picture of a hand on top of a piece of wood with a nail in it. And over here, a hand holding a hammer like a big mallet, and with anger and hatred and venom, it was driving that nail into the hand. and I realized I was the one holding the hammer. The picture changed completely. I could look up and I saw, and I'm in my bed. I looked up and saw Jesus on the cross. His head was bowed, he was in pain. And I remember thinking the words, "Jesus, I'm sorry for putting you there." And with the most beautiful smile, he raised his head and he said, "Come." And again, I said within myself, "I'm sorry for putting you there." And a presence came up through my body, through my legs, right through, out my head. And I felt so clean inside, tingly clean, as though I was being scrubbed with a scrubbing brush and soap. And I have never experienced joy, happiness, peace, love like that. And I started to weep. I know now why, but I just started to weep. And I thought, if Anne wakens up, she'll think I've gone off my head. So I put the Bible down and went to sleep. The next day, everybody had changed. Of course, it was me that had changed. That night, I picked up the Gospel of Matthew again to finish it. And I realized that this Jesus that I'd read that had died the night before had come back to life again. And I then knew that somehow or another, this atheist was related to Jesus in some way. He was a man in heaven with a body. He would never experience death again. And somehow I would meet him. But of course, I never read the Bible. So this isn't too bad a theology for an atheist who's never read the Bible. I knew that I was somehow related to him. So let's move on there, because things took a big change in my life. Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." So we are dead. Our life is hidden with Christ. We're buried with him by baptism into death. So I began to realize as I was studying this that I had actually died with Christ on the cross. I was crucified with him on the cross. So the old Bill Anderson was gone, dead, and the new had come to life in Christ. Now my body was still the same, my mind is still the same, but my spirit was new, totally new, because it was dead before. It was dead in sin, but it had been brought alive. And I realized that God doesn't take old cloth and put new wine in it. We're new wineskins, new wine, living within. And somehow or another, I had to live with Christ in me and I in Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So now, just as I had received Christ as my Savior, he had taken away my sin, Romans 10:9. Now I have to do something with Christ living in me and I being one with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ, but that he is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So I am one spirit with Jesus Christ. How can I take that in. The one who said and there was. The one from the very beginning who created everything. The one who bled and died on the cross for me. The one who was raised from death is living inside me. This is a process I'm going through, folks. I don't have all the answers yet. But I'll tell you this, my Christian life has turned round and it is so exciting now. It has just taken a 180-degree turn. John 4:17. See, this just gets better and better. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." In this world, now, not in the one to come, this world. As he is, so are we in this world. How do we cope with that? As Jesus is. You imagine Jesus walking down the dusty roads in Galilee. He's walking through the dusty streets in the villages and towns. As he is, so are we in this world. Not only is he living in us and we're in him, 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So we're walking towards that fulfillment of that great day when we are all taken to be with him. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That straightens your back when you're walking down the street. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. How do we cope with that? We can get up every morning and groan and moan about aches and pains. We can go up every morning and worry about work. And maybe get up in the morning and worry that we don't have work to go to. But God is faithful, absolutely faithful. As I said, it gets better and better. This is Ephesians 3:20. We're familiar with these, but we've mostly never applied them to our own lives. They've never become us, these scriptures. This is a good one. Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Not the power to come, the power that's working in us. Have we got that power? Yes, we have that power because God says we have it. Bill just hasn't used it for his glory and for his praise. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So we've got Jesus living in us. We've got his righteousness. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us. How do we cope with that? We need our mind to be renewed. We need our mind to be renewed. 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. As I said, it gets better. Romans 8, 15 to 17. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You haven't received fear. Fear doesn't come from God. But you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that in itself, the God of this universe, the one who sustains all things, the one who gives blue sky, gives sun, moon, stars, the one who gives us life, gives us breath, we can call him Father. But not just Father, not just Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Joint heirs with the Son, the one who raised the dead, who healed the sick, who made the blind see, the one who raised the lame. We're joint heirs with that Jesus. This is what born again means, folks. We're joint heirs. Now, it doesn't mean to say that Bill Anderson doesn't sin, because what I'm describing in these scriptures is the ability that we have with God inside us to live without sinning. But that's for days to come, because we still have our own unregenerate thoughts, desires. But if we confess our sin, God's faithful and just to forgive us from our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we're joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Some of the newer versions of the Bible won't, as far as I'm concerned, have that verse complete. The King James and some of the older versions has this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now with these scriptures, I know what it's like to walk in the Spirit. I have to maintain that. I have to do that before God and not walk after the flesh. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is having our minds trained, transformed, renewed, reading the word, and realize, I didn't realize these scriptures I've been reading to you. They're all over the New Testament. They're all over the epistles. See, when the early church got born again, didn't have this. It had the Old Testament, didn't have the Bible complete. And as they are going on in their lives as Christians, as believing that Jesus died for their sin and got baptized in water, what else was there for them? Some of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit and were led by the Spirit. But what other guides did they didn't? And there's Paul in prison for his faith, and faithfully through, candles or oil lamps, straining his eyes and writing out all these letters, getting all this revelation from God to be kept for the church to come. And it's all been put in print. It's all for us to read. It's all for us to understand, know, and live by. As two more to tell you. Firstly, if Jesus and the Holy Spirit are living within me, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, I and my Father are one. So if Jesus is in Bill, the Father must be in Bill. Now, this is heady stuff for me. But God with us, who can stand against us? This last one, I kept this till last because Ephesians 2:6. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you today? Are you sitting in a Baptist church in Fraserburgh, or are you seated with Christ in heavenly places? I know where my spirit is. My body is here. My spirit is here. God's here. But we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Friends, it just doesn't get better than this. This is being born again, born from above. It's not feelings. It's not living by your senses. It's living by revelation. Revelation from God's word. See, we can live in our senses and our feelings. Don't feel well today. I've got a sore head. I don't feel well. That pain in my leg is shooting up here. Jesus has given us all things. He says, by his stripes we have been healed. Do we believe that? And if we believe it, we have to walk in it. You can confess your faults or you can confess your righteousness. And if you start confessing your good health, even though you feel the pain, it will go. I have another story to tell you. I'm going to tell it. About 7 weeks ago, I had toothache, right? And I kept moaning to Anne about my toothache. This is before all this. Went to the dentist. Dentist was going to take it out. So on the day of the appointment, I wasn't happy about losing. I've only got one to back there. So I wanted to keep it as long as I could. And I told the Lord that. Anyway, went to the dentist, and she was ready. She gave me 8 injections. Didn't work. She gave me another 2. Didn't work. She gave me another 3. So 13 injections in my mouth, and I still felt her. And she started pulling and pushing at this tooth. And I was in absolute agony. Now, this is just as I'm standing here. Jesus spoke to me. And I heard him saying, it's okay, Bill. Just be patient. It's okay. And with that, she withdrew the pliers from my mouth. And she said, I haven't been able to move it. You'll have to get an operation to take it out. And that was it. Cheerio. And inside I'm going, yes, I've still got it. Yes, thank you, Lord. And I still have it. And there's no pain. And God's been good. Didn't enjoy the injections. I didn't enjoy the twisting and the pulling and pushing of that flyer. I felt it. I don't know what she put in my mouth. I don't know what was in that injections, but it never numbed one bit of my mouth. So it was sore. But God is faithful. It's okay, Bill. It's okay, Bill. It was so real, and it was so sudden, because it left, because she withdrew the pliers from her mouth. God is so good. He's so faithful. He is so kind. And we are seated with him in heavenly places by his grace and by his mercy. Let's stand and sing a closing hymn. Come, people of the risen Lord. Before I give the benediction, I've taken here work that was done several years ago, and it's regarding the new covenant, the blood covenant. think there's about 14 pages. I've asked Norman, if anyone wants a copy, if he could please photocopy it, or if something happens, I would be happy to do it. It is so enlightening. Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and mercy. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.